ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर 24 द रिनन्सिएशन ऑफ कार्दमम मुनि टेक्स्ट 45 वासुदेवे भगवती सर्वज्ञे तत्त्वगात्मनि परेना भक्तिभावेना लब्धात्मा मुक्ता बंधनः वासुदेवे भगवती सर्वज्ञे प्रत्यगात्मने परेणा भक्तिभावेना लब्धात्मा मुक्तबन्धनः वासुदेवे भगवती सर्वज्ञे प्रत्यगात्मने परेणा भक्तिभावेना लब्धात्मा मुक्तबन्धनः वासुदेवे भगवती सर्वज्ञे प्रत्यगात्मनि परेणा भक्तिभावेना लब्धात्मा मुक्तबन्धनः वासुदेवे टू वासुदेव भगवती द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड सर्वज्ञ ओमनीसिएंट प्रत्यगात्मनि द सुपर सोल विद इन एवरीवन परेना ट्रांसेंडेंटल भक्तिभावेना By devotional service. Labdha Atma. Being situated in himself. Mukta Bandhanaha. Liberated from material bondage. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. He thus became liberated from conditioned life and became self-situated in transcendental devotional service. To the personality of Godhead, Vasudev, the omniscient super soul within everyone. Please repeat after me. He thus became liberated from conditioned life and became self-situated in transcendental devotional service to the personality of Godhead, Vasudev, the omniscient super soul within everyone. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When one engages in transcendental devotional service of the Lord, one becomes aware that his constitutional position as an individual soul is to be eternally a servitor of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. Self-realization does not mean that because the Supreme Soul and the individual soul are both souls, they are equal in every respect. The individual soul is prone to be conditioned and the super soul is never conditioned. When the conditioned soul realizes that he is subordinate to the Supreme Soul, his position is called Labdhatma, self-realization, or Mukta Bandhanaha, freedom from material contamination. Material contamination continues as long as one thinks that he is as good as the Supreme Lord or is equal to him. This condition is the last snare of Maya. Maya always influences the conditioned soul. Even after much meditation and speculation, if one continues to think himself one with the Supreme Lord, is to be understood that he is still in the last snares of the spell of Maya. The word parena is very significant. Para means transcendental, untinged by material contamination. Full consciousness that one is an eternal servant of the Lord is called the parabhakti. If one has any identification with material things and executes devotional service for attainment of some material gain, that is viddha bhakti, contaminated bhakti. One can actually become liberated by execution of parabhakti. Another word mentioned here is sarvagye. The super soul within, the super soul sitting within the heart is all cognizant. He knows. I may forget my past activities due to the change of body, but because the Supreme Soul as Paramatma is sitting within me, he knows everything. Therefore, the result of my past karma or past activities is awarded to me. I may forget, but he awards me suffering or enjoyment for the misdeeds or good deeds of my past life. One should not think that he is freed from reaction because he has forgotten the actions of the past life. Reactions will take place, and what kind of reaction there will be is judged by the super soul, the witness. Vasudeve Bhagavati Sarvagye Pratyagatmani Parena Bhakti Bhavena Labdhatma Mukta Vandana. He thus became liberated from conditioned life and became self-situated in transcendental devotional service to the personality of Godhead Vasudeva, the omniscient super soul within everyone. So, Kardama Muni's attainment of spiritual perfection is being described here, and through this description, it has also being informed to us what actually happens when one achieves spiritual perfection in this way. Kardama Muni went to the forest in order to meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was engaged in what is known as Ashtanga Yoga or Dhyana Yoga. The process of Ashtanga Yoga, it's called Ashtangya because it has 8 stages. Ashta means 8, Anga means parts or limbs or sections. So there are 8 stages of achieving the perfection through internalizing the consciousness. The first stage of Ashtanga Yoga is Yam. The 8 stages are respectively Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, Pratyahar, Dhyan, Dharan, and Samadhi. So these are the 8 stages. The 8 stages, starting from jam or external purification. Purification of the body. Niyam, the purification, internal purification, purification of the mind. So, mind is purified. So we can say body is purified through, not only by cleaning the body, but the body also is purified by the proper eating the foodstuff. The body is purified through proper action. So those are prescribed in the first stage of yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. Then internal purification is through proper execution of the mental activities. Those activities are purification of the mind, is actually freeing the mind from the influences of Rajagun and Tamagun. Tada rajas tamobhava kamalobhadayashchaji. So they properly practice to free the mind from lust, greed, anger, etc. Then asana, to learn how to use the body for achieving that particular goal. Asana. People think that yoga asanas are just some yoga postures. Yes, these are the yoga postures, but the purpose of the postures is to situate the soul properly within the body. Just like when you drive a car, what do you do? Or when you drive a cycle, what do you have to do? First you have to sit on the seat. If you don't know how to sit on that car, on the driver's seat, will you be able to drive? If you sit on the passenger seat, will you be able to drive? You have to sit in the particular seat, the driver's seat, in order to properly control the body. Just as you sit on the driver's seat to properly control the car. Vehicle. Human body is, all bodies are actually a kind of a machine. Jantra Rudhani Maya. Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Jantra Rudhani Maya. The Maya is making us travel to different places in this material nature through different types of material bodies. Jantra Rudhani Maya. So asana is the chapter or the limb of Ashtanga Yoga through which one learns how to properly situate oneself in this body. And then comes pranayama. Pranayama is the controlling of the breathing. There are two types, actually. Although we notice two types of functions of breathing, but actually there are three aspects of breathing. Inhale, exhale, and retain between inhaling and exhaling. In normal condition, people just breathe in and out. But a yogi masters the art of retaining the prana, life air. And that is the most important thing. Pranapana gati ruddha pranayama parayana. Krishna is saying that in Bhagavad Gita. Pran and apan gati ruddha. Checking that, restraining the movement of this prana and apana, and pranayama parayana. One becomes engaged in, yogi becomes engaged in pranayama, practice of pranayama. Now ultimately what a yogi does, yogi learns, because inhale and exhale everyone is doing, everyone can do that as long as one is alive. But the art of yoga, art of pranayama, is to learn how to control, how to check, how to stop the process of breathing, how to retain. That retaining process is called kumbhaka. Rechaka, rechak means exhale. Puraka means inhale. Kumbhaka means to retain, to stop the air within. Either prana or with apan. Prana is inhaling, taking the prana vayu, is keeping the soul, and apana vayu is helping the excretion from the body. And this we can see that also. The yogis show this mystic power or this ability. This time, this year in Kumbh Mela, I remember, there was one pilot Baba. he was very popular. I mean, the pilot Baba's tent was actually the most busy tent. And pilot Baba, I heard, is so popular because he was going inside, like he would go into a box, into a trunk. They would lock the trunk and they would put the trunk underground and keep the trunk there for a long, long time, maybe 48 hours or something. And not only Pilot Baba, I haven't watched it myself. I heard that Pilot Baba, one Japanese disciple, also was performing this kind of thing. So this is the power of pranayama. When I was young, I remember seeing one once, like when near a house, it was in the broad daylight, right by the side of the road, in the main street. There was, once I saw a big crowd next to a bus stand. And so out of curiosity, I went there and I saw that two legs are sticking out. The body has gone inside the ground and the legs are sticking out. That means he has just gone underground, and from the shape and size of the legs, I could see that it was quite a young boy, maybe about 14, 15 years old. And I just watched it fine, doing that. I didn't really pay much. I was not so impressed myself. And then after some hours, when I came back, I saw there is a crowd, and I saw that the boy is still in that position. His body, head downwards, have been buried, and his legs are sticking out. So this is the practice of pranayama. They learn to how to control, how to stop breathing. So if you stop breathing, then whether you are inside underground or above ground, inside water or in the sky, it doesn't matter. You won't breathe. But this is just a way to demonstrate that they are not breathing. And ultimately this pranayama process, through this pranayama, they would stop breathing for not only days together, for months together they stop breathing. That is the perfection of pranayama. And mind you, this is only the fourth stage of Ashtanga Yoga. What is the fifth stage of Ashtanga Yoga? The fifth stage of Ashtanga Yoga is Pratyahara. Pratyahara means withdrawal. The withdrawing the senses from the objects of the senses. What is the natural characteristic of the senses? The natural characteristics of the senses are to run after the objects of the senses. Aren't we always, isn't this how our mind is always running after the objects of the senses? Dhayate vishayan pumsha shangaste shupajayate. Dhayate vishayan pumsha. The mind is constantly running towards the senses are constantly running towards the objects of the senses. Or actually the mind is constantly running to the objects of the senses, through the senses. So a yogi at that time, he withdraws the consciousness from the objects of the senses. He doesn't see. His eyes are open. He doesn't see. He doesn't hear. He doesn't have any. He doesn't allow the senses to go out. Don't we notice that? We also get into a state like that. When you are asleep, where are your senses? Sometimes some people even sleep with their eyes open. But do they see? No. Eyes may be open, but they don't see. Ears are open when you are sleeping. Do we hear? No. Why? Because the consciousness has been withdrawn. So yogi, actually the thing happens naturally due to the withdrawal of the senses from the objects of the senses, or withdrawal of the consciousness at the time of sleep. But for a yogi, he practices, and through practices he does that. And this is, mind you, just a preparation for meditation. And then only he projects his consciousness to the core of his heart, which is called dhyana, the sixth stage of Ashtanga Yoga, meditation. When the meditation is fixed, then it is called dharana. And when the super soul is perceived in the core of the heart, then that is called samadhi. So here the description is of samadhi. How Kardama Muni achieved his samadhi. Vasudeve Bhagavati Sarvagye Pratyagatmani. He is seeing this all cognizant super soul, Sarvagye Pratyagatmani, in his heart, Pratyagatmani, who is the personality of Godhead Vasudev, the omniscient super soul within everyone. So this is how he is seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the perfection. Now, is this the end of everything? Is this the end of ultimate perfection? Samadhi? No. Samadhi is the end of yoga, but samadhi is the beginning of bhakti. Where yoga ends, bhakti begins. The super soul is seen within the heart. And when you see this, when a jiva, minute spirit soul, minute living entity sees the super soul in the heart, then what is his natural tendency? The natural tendency is to surrender unto him. So that surrender, Sharanagati, is the beginning or basis of devotional service. Tapashibha adhiko yogi ganibhopi matodhikaha karmibhashchadhiko yogi tasmad yogi bhavarjana. Krishna is telling Arjuna. Yogis are the best. Better than the tapasvi, those who are performing austerities and penances. Better than the gyanis, gyanibhya, pya, adhiko yogi. Then karmibhascha adhiko yogi. Those who are active, engaged in fruitive activities, yogis are even superior to them. Therefore, Krishna is telling, therefore, Arjuna, become a yogi. But then, Krishna says, yoginam opi sarvesham madgaten antara. Among all the yogis, who is madgaten antarat manaha, shraddhavan bhajate jomam, shraddhavan, with shraddha, with faith, one who is serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Serving me, Krishna is saying. Shraddhavan bhajate jo mam. Bhajate, rendering devotional service unto me. Same Jukta Tamamata. He is the most intimately connected to me, meaning he is the greatest of the yogis. Because the purpose of yoga, the word yoga means to be connected. Sannasa yoga yuktena, yoga yuktena. So to be connected to the Lord is the goal of yoga. And who is most intimately connected? One who is engaged in his devotional service. So this is how the sixth chapter ends in Bhagavad Gita. The chapters dealing with Karma Yoga ends. And then the bhakti begins. Maya sakta mana partha yogan junjan madashraya asang shayang samagrong man jatha gyashyashi tachri. So Krishna is telling, see, yoga, Shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mata. And here Krishna is telling, Maya shakta mana partha, ashakta mana, mind attached to me. Maya shakta mana partha, and yogan junjan madashraya. Being connected to me, junjan, and madashraya, taking shelter of me. What is the best way to be connected to Krishna? By forcing ourselves to, forcing Krishna to allow us to be connected, or depending upon Krishna to allow us to be connected. And that is madashraya, being surrendered unto me. Therefore surrender is the most important thing. Mam ekam sharanam. Sharanagati. Once again we are going back to the same point. Sharanagati, surrender to Krishna, is the only way. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hi etaduttam. You are my devotee. Devotee means you are surrendered to me. Therefore I will reveal it to you. And Prabhupada in the purport is saying that if somebody tries to merge into Brahman and through meditation and all, they are not going to achieve spiritual perfection. The way to be achieve spiritual perfection through yoga is by being surrendered to Krishna. Time and time again, this has been the instruction in the scriptures. Another word mentioned here is sarvagya, Prabhupada is saying. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all cognizant. It is not that we are doing something and Krishna doesn't know. Whatever you are doing, Krishna is aware of it. And accordingly Krishna will reciprocate. Jai jatha mang prapadyante. Krishna knows how we are surrendering unto Him, how we are reacting towards Him. If we think that Krishna is our enemy, Krishna will say, okay, tans tathaiva bhajam maham. Okay, you think I'm your enemy? Okay, I'll become your enemy. But watch out when I become your enemy. Just read Ramayana. Just read Mahabharata. You will see what happens to those who think that I am their enemy. Destroyed, no matter how powerful they were. They're totally annihilated with everything. With their family members, with their followers. On the other hand, if we surrender unto Krishna, then what is the benefit? Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami. I will deliver you. Paritranaya sadhunam. If you become my devotee, then I will deliver you. And Krishna is all cognizant. Krishna knows what's going on in our hearts. We may deceive the whole world. We may very successfully deceive the whole world. Still we won't be able to cheat Krishna. we won't be able to deceive Krishna. Therefore, it is better to be surrendered to Krishna. Doesn't matter what the whole world is thinking about us. What should really matter is how Krishna is thinking about us. How the whole world thinks about us is not important. How Krishna thinks about us, what really matters. And the process was very simple. Prabhupada is saying that point, making that point time and time again. The process is very simple. Very simple. Susukham kartum appayam. Can execute it happily. Just consider, we just read Kardama Muni's situation and we heard about how difficult Ashtanga Yoga is. Takes thousands of years and still one is not sure of achieving perfection. After 64,000 years of practice, Vishwamitra fell down. So that is how difficult it is. And then after that he had to start from the scratch again. And then also there were so many hurdles, so many obstacles. On the other hand, now we are here in ISKCON. How is it going? Is it very difficult? We are enjoying, and at the same time we are deriving the highest spiritual benefit. That a yogi, you see, after achieving perfection, simple words, after going through so many difficulties, when a yogi achieves this perfection, what next? The next is join ISKCON. So, why go through that unnecessary hassle? Just straight away join ISKCON and follow the process that Srila Prabhupada gave. The process that Krishna gave. Process that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. Such an easy process. All you have to do is just surrender to Krishna. All you have to do is chant His holy name. All you have to do is to glorify Him. Preaching. Why preaching is so important? Because preaching is the glorification of the Supreme Personality of God. When you are preaching to people, what do? We simply make them understand how wonderful Krishna is. Of course, we shouldn't preach like a parrot. We should preach it with, we should speak about Krishna, we should try to convince them with Krishna with due understanding and appreciation. So are you all happy in Krishna consciousness? Is there anyone who is not happy? Or are you afraid of me? Okay, thank you very much. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Radharani. Okay. Yeah, in modern day what is going on in the name of yoga is not yoga. It's a tamasha. So, just some physical exercise. But what's the use of that? Just surrender into Krishna. I don't know how effectively that works, but the ultimate determination comes from the taste. Once you get the taste, then you don't have to artificially or separately cultivate your determination. When you like it, then it will automatically happen. The way Prabhupada sometimes gave the example, when a young boy, when they reach their maturity, when they are children, a boy doesn't really have any attraction for a girl, right? But when he grows up to a certain age, and then he is attracted to a beautiful girl, and it happens naturally, he's automatically attracted. Nobody has to tell him. He doesn't have to become determined to become attracted to her. He's automatically, his heart is just obsessed with her. So Krishna consciousness is like that. At an immature stage, we do not develop that attraction. But with the due maturity of devotion, when you develop spiritually, then that attraction will automatically be there. Just as a young boy is attracted to a young girl, a devotee becomes attracted to Krishna. Yes.
After that verse, at the end of the yoga chapter, there's another place where it says renunciation of work is better than yoga. One who renounces the fruits of his activity. And it also fits in with when Krishna says, if you're not absorbed completely in pure devotion in the 12th chapter, then do the rules and rags, and then if you can't do that.
Yeah, naturally, that's what you're saying. Pure devotion is naturally superior to yoga.
But I mean, and then if you can't
my question is, how do you renounce? How one is able to renounce his actions? So the results of his action. Huh? How one is able? How does one become able to renounce the results of his action?
Zen Krishna says offer the...
No, I'm asking you.
Work.
How does one become able to renounce the results of his action?
Well, offer it to Krishna. Really.
Right. Right.
But then people have another level, like where Krishna says, then just work for a higher cause.
No, there is nothing beyond that. Serving Krishna, surrendering to the results of Krishna.
Yeah, but I mean, preliminary to that, if somebody's not even ready to offer the fruits of their work, then just offer your activities for some higher cause.
What is that higher cause?
That's ultimately Krishna. I mean, that's actually Krishna.
So you're coming back to the same point. Right, it's not
charity.
Right, it's not a matter of mundane activities. The higher cause is right.
But in terms of like yoga as the high before bhakti is renunciation of one's work for some higher pious purpose better than yoga? And how is that?
The thing is, it will depend how one is renouncing. Is he artificially renouncing, or he is naturally renouncing by offering it to Krishna? When it is offering to Krishna, that is high. And when it is artificially renouncing, then it is lower than yoga.
Oh, that's low.
Lower than yoga. Because it's artificially doing it. He won't succeed in doing that properly. In that respect, we can consider Rupa Goswami's statement in the Nectar of Devotion that prapanchika taya buddha hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshubhi parityago vairagyam phalgu katvate. Considering the objects that could be engaged in Krishna's service, considering them the objects that could have been engaged in Krishna's service, if one renounces them thinking that they are mundane, in order to achieve liberation, if they reject that, that is false renunciation. That's not renunciation. That renunciation never works. The real renunciation is Jukta Vairagya, by offering things to Krishna.
Krishna's service.
One is, as you said, practicing devotional services better than the yogis. Now, one will be practicing devotional service in ISKCON, but if, yes, those who are well trained and seriously practicing are obviously in that category, but what about those who are rather doing it sentimentally, without proper training, and without knowing much of the, you know, the etiquettes and other, you know, and without proper guidance?
Okay, I got your point.
So what is their
You see, there are two ways of becoming rich. One is by working hard and making a lot of money. That way you can become rich. Another way of becoming rich is by being born as the son of a rich man. So, if you are the son of a rich man, you don't have to work hard. You simply has to become his son, right? Then he'll automatically inherit. But in order to inherit, you have to reach your maturity. The father will not give the money, doesn't give the money, when the child is minor. Only when he reaches his maturity, he inherits the money. So, you see, the process of devotional service, or before that, let me put it this way, that the other processes, Ashtanga Yoga and process of tapasya, jnana, liberation, is simply trying to become rich by dint of their own endeavor. But devotional service is the process of becoming rich by becoming the son of the richest person. Right? Now, the first condition is that you have to become his son. If you do not develop the relationship with your father, the father won't give you the money. Right? So one may get the opportunity to develop his relationship with his father, but if he doesn't, then he won't inherit. And then other consideration is that, you know, he'll have to reach his maturity to inherit. Like the devotee is, like as you were saying, sentimentally, meaning they are pretending, they are not really developing the relationship with Krishna. Right? That is the consideration. The other consideration is that even if one has developed, even if one is surrendered, even though he is not really aware, he doesn't really know what it means to be the son of the father. Like when one is a child, he doesn't know. What it means to be a father, what it means to be a son, what is the relationship. But because he is submissive to the father, he is under the protection of the father is grooming him up. So, as soon as one comes to Krishna consciousness, he inherits it. The father grooms him up to the maturity, and at that stage of maturity, he offers him the inheritance. So that is the meaning of sadhana bhakti and prema bhakti. The loyalty is actually prema. But sadhana bhakti is the state of maturity, the state of maturing. Through this process of practicing devotional service, we are becoming mature.
Like if someone has come to the course of devotional service but is not properly receiving the training from, you know, advanced devotees, and is not, I mean, like, why I'm asking this question is because there are several devotees might have passed decades in the process, but, you know, they still, you know, seem to be at least you know, externally, you know, in the same, I mean, not really make much tangible progress. So, because, you know, they may not be under proper training and guidance. So, I mean, I just wanted to ask in relation to.
Well, what to do? What to say? Like, there are various ways of looking at it, various ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is unfortunate that the senior devotees are not guiding the junior devotees properly in the path of devotion. They are not fulfilling their responsibility. That's one way of looking at it. It's unfortunate. The other consideration is that, after all, material nature is a place of, you know, it's a testing ground. It's a field of proving oneself. So, maybe Krishna made this arrangement. Okay, you came to Krishna consciousness. Let me see how serious you have become. Why are you blaming the senior devotees? What about yourself? Prabhupada's books are there. The facilities are there. ISKCON is there. Temples are there. The programs are there. I mean, if you don't attend the Mangal Arati, you can't blame the senior devotees for that. You have that option. Prabhupada has given the process. So that's the other way of looking at it. And a sincere devotee will take it upon himself. That it is my defect. That I am not. Because ultimately, what is the criteria for making spiritual advancement? Our own sincerity. And the practice, follow the process, it will happen. Well, I'm sure the senior devotees can help, or proper structure can help. So, the leaders of the movement should be... There are two ways of looking at it. From the perspective of the leaders, or senior devotees, from the perspectives of the individual devotees. Right? Yes, the senior devotees have the responsibility to guide the devotees properly. And individually we have to see, what can I do? Like, for example, during Prabhupada's time, the enthusiasm was so high, the spirit was so high, devotees were so sincerely involved. But today, where are those devotees who are so sincerely involved? Now, they can't blame anybody. They can, if they want, they can blame. Well, this happened in ISKCON, that happened in ISKCON, that's why I'm not in ISKCON. Right? But the thing is, the onus of being in ISKCON lies on us. Prabhupada has created ISKCON as a perfect situation. So we should remain, no matter what, if we're concerned about our spiritual advancement, let's bite the bullet and stay in ISKCON. Because if we stay in ISKCON, rest will automatically. And at the same time, the senior devotees have to take up the responsibility, take up the right example. Like, for example, Chaupati Temple is setting such a nice example through this counselor and counselee system. So let's follow that. It's this is such a nice way of taking care of the devotees. So let's follow that. The leader should think that. And similarly, if something good is happening here, the other devotees will say, well, in Ujjain temple this is what is happening, let's follow that. And in this way, we will create the enthusiastic atmosphere. Okay.
In the life sketch of the Maharaj, we see that when he was performing austerity, and through pranayam, he restored the universal ones.
Are you going to try that? So if you cannot do that, then don't worry about it. Only Dhruva Maharaj in Satya Yuga could do that. You are a product of Kali Yuga. Okay, how could he do that? Because by through this practice he became so close to the Lord that the Lord's, because the Lord is doing that, he is controlling everyone, and he became so close to him, and he was doing that, the effect of that prevailed or permeated, and that's why the universal atmosphere was affected. Just as whatever Krishna does, that affects the whole world, right? Whole creation. So similarly, when a devotee through his devotion comes to the Lord, he also becomes related to the creation to some extent in that. Okay. By performing austerities, he became so close that his austerity actually affected the whole universe. Okay, I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. Okay, we'll meet you all again. There's an Ishta Goshti at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Okay. So everyone, take care, be good, and serve nicely, take care of yourselves.